WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Israel-Hamas ceasefire is holding, humanitarian aid passing through the Rafah border crossing with Gaza, and three more hostages released today. They've been sent home from an Israeli hospital in stable condition. ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv.
Just been watching a video of the former hostages being reunited with their families. Each one of them, their mothers went together with the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, to go and collect their daughters. And then we saw video phone calls that had taken place.
And we've seen food, blankets, and other supplies, plus fuel tankers passing through checkpoints into Gaza, more than 550 trucks. TikTok resuming service in the U.S. today, lifting its self-imposed blackout after President-elect Trump vowed to put a federal ban on hold while once he takes office. The app is still apparently not available for download in the app stores. That's in line with the original language of the ban. This is ABC News. Well, the day before he leaves office, President Biden with more pardons.
Among the five pardons issued by President Biden, a posthumous pardon for Marcus Garvey, a black activist and nationalist who was convicted of mail fraud in 1923 and later deported to his native Jamaica. The Congressional Black Caucus, in calling for a pardon, said it would honor his work for the black community and restore the work of an American hero. Garvey died in 1940, but his work influenced Malcolm X and other civil rights leaders. Brian Clark, ABC News.
On Thursday, the Vistra Energy battery factory in Monterey, California exploded into flames, forcing hundreds to be evacuated. Monterey County Supervisor Glenn Church today.
I'm cautiously optimistic that the worst of this is over. We don't have any flames. The smoke has died down. There is still heat inside the structure.
That Moss Landing power plant's one of the largest lithium plants in the world. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at CivicMedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Ahead of President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration, thousands of people are protesting this weekend. Special teams have even made their way to D.C. to try to keep things peaceful without using force. Mike Moen reports.
Nonviolent Peace Force was invited by organizers of the People's March to ensure demonstrators feel safe as they express their views. The group's Anna Zero says they'll take a nonpartisan approach in helping out. They'll be on the spot to carry out de-escalation tactics if needed.
What we do is really about leaning into the humanity of other people, right? People often escalate because they're not being heard and because they feel vulnerable. So if we can reach out to that person proactively, if we see attention rising and listen to them, kind of divert the attention.
In 2017, before Trump's first inauguration, this event was called the Women's March, but has been rebranded as progressives worry about actions like mass deportations. Zero says preparation is key to setting a peaceful tone, noting they trained roughly 200 volunteers in recent weeks. She acknowledges in today's political climate it can be tricky to encourage tolerance, as a lot of people have strong feelings about where we are as a country. But she insists it's still worth it, even if it feels out of reach.
Sometimes the work of nonviolence can feel like, no, this isn't what we need. Our problems are too big. But that is exactly when we do need nonviolence, because when we see these fissures in our ability to relate to other human beings, nonviolence at its core is about being able to see that person for who they are.
She says building tolerance usually takes longer when teaching it to people surrounded by conflict. The weekend assistance won't foster deep political discussions if tension arises, but rather those on-the-spot efforts to lower the temperature. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cold weather advisory in effect into Tuesday. Mostly cleared tonight, frigid, a low near negative 11. Wind chill values as low as 30 below. On Martin Luther King Day, mostly sunny, continued frigid, a high of negative 3. Wind chill values again as low as 30 below. Right now, it's one above zero.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will cover the inauguration in Washington, D.C., and also talk about who the next civil rights leader might be for Martin Luther King Day. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. First up is Matt Nair on Air. And this week, Jane and Greg remembered the four-year anniversary of January 6th, and, more importantly, attempts to rewrite the history of that day.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you. Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a say in referenda. There are other states that do that, Greg Bach.
I think like half of them already do that.
Yes, many, many states do that. And Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a little say about what gets on the ballot. Of course, Popcorn King Robin Voss has some thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't surprise anyone. We'll be talking about that after the 10:30 news. The citizen referendums, of course, the flags are flying at half staff today and will be throughout the month. Not everyone is happy about that. I'll let you guess who. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Next hour, this is something that I think Greg has kind of flown under the radar a little bit.
Yes.
If you're going to be traveling and you're going to be traveling overseas. It was not intentional, actually. If you're going to be traveling, and especially overseas, and not just overseas, but within the country, there have been some changes, and you're going to need the correct documentation. So we will be kicking that around after 11 o'clock. We have an update on the boat stuck at Bradford Beach. We finally know who that boat belongs to.
Would you say we put a face to a McBoaty face?
Oh, look at you. Yeah, they're looking for a little help, apparently, the owners of that boat that's been stuck there for well over a month. After the 11:30 news, the Golden Globes were last night. We will take our look at the rundown of the winners and highlight some of the speeches. And then we will wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the High and Dry edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Going to start off the show today, though. It is January 6th. It is the four-year anniversary of the attack at the U.S. Capitol. According to some, it was a day of love, Greg Bach. A day of love. Not necessarily from some of the officers who were defending our lawmakers and our Capitol. Aquilino Gunnell, who was one of the officers, one of the Capitol police officers protecting us that day, he has an article in the Bulwark today called, and the headline reads, "I was nearly killed on January 6th. 4 years later, I feel betrayed all over again. The people whose lives I protected sided with my attackers, but they weren't the only ones who let me down. I don't know about you, but I watched all of it unfold live on television.
I did as well. I was working at the barber shop, and it was a quiet day, and I was watching it happen, and all of a sudden I'm seeing people rushing the stairs and fires being lit and guns going off. I remember standing up and saying to my coworkers, something really wrong is happening right now. And it was absolutely tragic to watch. And it's one of those moments. It's a JFK September 11th. Where were you on January 6th? Did you watch it happen? How did you hear about it?
I will never forget those images.
Yeah.
And if you have someone in your family circle who still maintains that it was nothing, it was a blip, I highly encourage you to pull up some of the video from that day and look at what was happening with our Capitol Police officers and the other officers who were called in to help. It was horrific. We had rioters attacking police officers with flagpoles.
Yeah.
If you saw any of the attack on, they pulled them out into the crowd, beating them on the ground. The officer that Pat Kreitlow had on his show, who's unfortunately named escaped me right now.
I know who you're talking about too. He's written a book, and he did a tour about it. And I think about the officer who was being crushed by
the door,
and them saying push and push and take his helmet. And and the bravery of the other officer who led the traitors. They're traitors. They're insurrectionists. They're not citizens to me. They're traitors away from Republicans and Democrats who we don't know what would have happened had they been discovered.
They had a noose on the front lawn.
Yeah. They were demanding to execute the sitting vice president at the time. I mean, we could go on and on and on. There is no version of the story that makes them look like fun-loving, patriotic tourists who are just taking in the sights that day. This was a mob of violent, armed traitors who walked into the building because they were upset that they didn't get their way.
Well, and it was encouraged by the former president.
Yes.
We had 2 months leading up to this of, it was stolen. It was stolen. There was no evidence that it had been stolen. There were 60 court cases that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, and I will say this, Greg, I do think that there were some people who did not go into the Capitol, who did not attack our police officers. There were certainly some people there who were not violent, but the core of them, we're talking about 1,800 people.
I that's where I'll disagree with you. I don't care what their intentions were. They attended, they were there, they walked in. When you are standing around people screaming and yelling, doing that, trying to cause violence, and you're a part, you were in it, you are as culpable as the rest of them. You can't, I do not believe you say, well, I didn't know. Well, if you didn't know, then you shouldn't have gone in. I mean, we have a sitting congressman from this state who was there. He didn't go to the Capitol. That is very proven. But
are you talking about Derek?
Derek Van Orden. Yeah, Derek DVO. Van Orden. He DVO was there, and I find him to be just as culpable and as much of a traitor as the rest of them. So I do not accept what their intentions were. They were there, and this really, really angers me because, and we talked about this today on Pat's show when you were on. By the way, Jane's always on Pat's show at the end on Mondays. Tune in. This is coming from these people who are revisioning the history here. These are coming from the people who support the blue, back the blue. They're all for the cops. Absolutely, without doubt,
yes.
Pro-cop.
Yes.
But when it comes to these individuals who are nearly killed and to the officers who died as a result of this traitorous event, I don't know, man. I don't know. Oh, all of a sudden, the blue isn't worth your support? It's these people in camo who are playing Weekend Warrior with their guns and their flagpoles. They're the ones who are in worthy
of
your
Patriots.
They're the Patriots and not the ones who are laying down their lives and putting themselves in harm's way to save people. That's good. All right, cool. Just so we have that down as an argument. Great.
John Kay on the live stream says, I was watching from home while I worked, and I felt the same as I felt on 9/11. Yeah, I hear you, John. It was surreal. And I kept saying to myself, where is all the help? Where is the help?
Yeah.
And of course, the backers of Donald Trump will say, well, that was Nancy Pelosi's responsibility.
No,
it wasn't.
No,
it actually was not.
And that's been proven time and time again. There's one man who should have done something and he didn't. He sat in his office, watched it on television
for hours,
was enjoying it because he felt like he was getting his way. And he felt like he didn't. And it was like 3 hours later, he goes to the Rose Garden and makes some cockamamie speech. We love you. Go home. Traitor. Just absolute. God, I want to swear so bad right now, Jane, but I'm not going to.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to, but it's just, it's infuriating. And it also, like, the world watched this. This, and it's different than 9/11, because when 9/11 happened, this was an attack. This was a terrorist attack from overseas.
From outside.
Nothing.
From outside.
The call came from inside the house, and the whole world got to watch this happen. In America, where we're supposed to be so strong and so powerful, it was just absolutely mind-blowing to witness. And for a moment, I thought, oh, of course we'll be united on this one. We know who the perpetrators are.
The bad guys are, yeah.
Not so much if you ask the elected officials who were there that day.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Greg, because Tom Dreisbach on Twitter has a whole series of what our Republican lawmakers said in the immediate aftermath mm-hmm. of January 6th.
Yep.
This is within the first 2 days.
Yeah.
Because as you'll remember, Kevin McCarthy then, after what, 4 days, flew down to Mar-a-Lago
yep.
and completely rehabilitated Donald Trump.
Yep.
And brought him back to life.
Yes.
This is what John Thune said, who is now Senate Majority Leader, about January 6th. A shrine to democracy for our country and the world was overrun by violent extremists seeking to overturn an election. We must hold those responsible to account. Senator John Marasso, the violence and destruction have no place in our republic. It must end now. Mitch McConnell, January 6th was a disgrace. American citizens attacked their own government. They used terrorism to try to stop a specific piece of domestic business they did not like. Senator Marsha Blackburn, these actions at the U.S. Capitol by protesters are truly despicable and unacceptable. While I am safe and sheltering in place, these protests are prohibiting us from doing our constitutional duty. I condemn them in the strongest possible terms. We are a nation of laws. Yeah, maybe not so much, Marsha.
Yeah, I'm watching. Like we have news running in the studio at all times at Radio Park, and I'm watching footage right now of people using nightsticks and shields from the cops to break the windows of the Capitol. Spell out for me where Love Fest begins. Spell out to me this was a tour and not an attack.
Were you watching what happens on January 6th? What do you think about where we are now? 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improve their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This week, Pete Schwabe of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe did his show down in Madison. And as a guest, he welcomed on Madison musician Katie Scullin. Next up on Spotlight, she talks about her process for writing songs and performs a song live on the air.
Hey, I'm Pete Schwabe. Welcome back. We are broadcasting statewide from Madison tonight. It's always fun to do the show from here. Chris Casper helping out. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, as always. Conrad holding the fort back down, back in Green Bay, telling everyone to keep it down so I don't know he's throwing a party. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She has been on the show before. She's a Madison-based singer-songwriter, and she's awesome in so many ways. And her name is Katie Scullin. Katie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. How's it going?
It's going great. It's so good to have you back. I really enjoyed... you being here last time you came down. Do you live far away, or is this an easy commute for you?
It is. Yeah, okay. I'm close by. I live in Oregon, just south.
So how have you been? How's the career going? Have you played any good gigs recently? Where are things at?
I've been good. Yeah. I've been mostly focused on writing and recording. Okay. My goal is to release a full length in 2025. So I have some time, but yeah. I've got, you know, like 5 or 6 songs ready to go. 3-4 in the works. But yeah, I've been just really focused on that. Played a couple shows. Indie Tune Up is one that I really like here in Fitchburg. Yeah.
How long does it take you to like, when you have the concept of a song, to write it down, mess around with it, from that moment to playing it live? What's that process like? How long is that?
I think it depends. Sometimes it will take months, and sometimes I'll write it in like a weekend.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, like I wrote one this weekend, which is strange because sometimes I'll go through like seasons of writer's block and won't be able to write anything
at
all. Yeah, that's too bad. But it all depends.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it takes forever, and then sometimes I'll write a song and I'll go back to it and change it completely. And yeah.
Will you, I think I know the answer to this, but will you be willing to play us a song?
Absolutely.
You have a guitar. I figured you were prepared for that question.
As long as I don't get a Freebird request.
Casper. What are you going to play for us?
Well, I think I'll do the one that we talked about. How about
the new one?
Sweet Escape?
Oh, Sweet Escape.
Sweet
I
Escape?
Love Sweet Escape. Okay. Yes, please. All right, here's Katie Scullin live in the studio playing Sweet Escape.
Try to turn this on me.
Very nice. Chris is clapping on the other side of it. Conrad, are you clapping your green bag? He's mysteriously dark. Okay. Happy's good. There you go. You can hear more. That's a great song. I love
Thank you.
It's got such a bluesy. Let me ask you something. What is your favorite genre, would you say, that has influenced your songwriting or music writing styles?
Gosh, I don't know. I like all sorts of music. Sometimes people have referred to me as like a wet noodle because I can't quite put me in a genre. Growing up, I really loved Tori Amos. Tori Amos. I think that this particular song was inspired by Amy Winehouse, which maybe is
interesting.
Why it has sort of that bluesy feel to it.
Yeah. It's kind of a haunting song too. It has a lot of undertones, you know, going on there. So
yeah,
that's cool. So how do you know when you have a great song?
You
have to play it in front of an audience first, or do you go, this is it. I love this.
I think sometimes I just like, I feel good about it, or like it hits me in a way where I'm like, I have to share it. I don't always know if it's good or not. But I think if I'm feeling something when I'm singing it, I guess I'm just hopeful that other people will resonate with that as well.
Do you need that connection with an audience to know? Do you like the song better when people respond to it, or is it a personal thing for you?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think for a while I did it because I just like needed to. And then I started to receive feedback from people like, oh my gosh, that song, you know, this happened in my life and this song meant so much to me. And I think about their story and then I look back at the lyrics that I wrote and I'm just kind of like awestruck how a completely different situation means the same thing to them. And it was a different scenario for me.
Like they connect with it totally different than what you were feeling maybe when you wrote it.
Right. That's or like the storyline. Like, yeah, it's a completely different like situation. But when you look at the lyrics, I'm like, oh, wait a second. That's so strange. Yeah.
Katie Scullin is here in studio with me for the second time. You were here probably in the summer, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I was in pink pants. So
you adhere to those rules.
Right.
I'm more brassy than that. I'll wear pink pants after October 1st. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's just how I roll. She's going to hopefully play something else for us. I want to ask you about videos you've done too.
Okay.
Because I'm fascinated by that. Like you have great. And if you want to see more of Katie's stuff, go to katiescullin.com. There's a bio there. There's songs, some that have lyrics and videos. It's great stuff. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, get in on the fun. What is your favorite video game? Kate from Stevens Point, she's in the 715, says The Sims.
Ooh.
I don't even know that. I've heard it, but I don't know anything about that.
I wonder if it's similar. I think SimCity, is that different? I used to love SimCity when I was a kid.
Probably. It sounds like the kids would shorten it out of The Sims.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Thank you, Kate. And she says, Wii Basketball. All right. We'll read more of your text. Let us know what your favorite video game is tonight. Matt Miller is here at 720 breaking down the Golden Globes. Right now, we still got time with Katie Scullin. And that's where we're going to be when we come back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Israel-Hamas ceasefire is holding, humanitarian aid passing through the Rafah border crossing with Gaza, and three more hostages released today. They've been sent home from an Israeli hospital in stable condition. ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv.
Just been watching a video of the former hostages being reunited with their families. Each one of them, their mothers went together with the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, to go and collect their daughters. And then we saw video phone calls that had taken place.
And we've seen food, blankets, and other supplies, plus fuel tankers passing through checkpoints into Gaza, more than 550 trucks. TikTok resuming service in the U.S. today, lifting its self-imposed blackout after President-elect Trump vowed to put a federal ban on hold once he takes office. The app is still apparently not available for download in the app stores. That's in line with the original language of the ban. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers win in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's basketball, Wisconsin faced USC for the first time in the Big Ten Conference, and the Badgers came out on top, 84-69. Wisconsin held off the Trojans after they scored 13 unanswered points in the second half. Head coach Greg Gard.
Defensively, to be able to catch ourselves after that first 5 to 7 minutes when they made a run back at us, and I think the moxie of the group, they didn't panic. I think that's what makes this team really, really good, is that we have a lot of pieces and a lot of weapons.
The Badgers have now won 7 in a row. Number 7th ranked Marquette falling short at home to Xavier, 59-57. The Golden Eagles unable to score during a 5-minute period down the stretch. Coach Shaka Smart.
Congrats to Xavier. They came in here with phenomenal force and aggressiveness. It's a 19-point game on our home floor with about 15 to play. That's 1,000% a testament to them and how they played.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cold weather advisory in effect into Tuesday. Mostly cleared tonight, frigid, a low near negative 11. Wind chill values as low as 30 below. On Martin Luther King Day, mostly sunny, continued frigid, a high of negative 3. Wind chill values again as low as 30 below. Right now, it's 1 above 0.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota Federal Appeals Court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by 2 non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson versus Calais over Louisiana's now 2 majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and 3 other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We return you now to the Civic Media Spotlight, and on deck is a segment from The Earl Ingram Show. This week, Earl welcomed on attorney Roy Evans, and the pair discussed DEI and affirmative action programs, as well as their history in the lead-up to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Roy Evans. And, you know, the subject, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do is I've watched people celebrate the death of DEI and say, you know, especially many conservatives, that this has been discriminatory towards white men. And so in this nation, we can't have discrimination. And we just heard attorney Roy Evans say, you know, his father, who was a veteran, got discriminated against, you know, when he came back. And, you know, attorney Evans, my father, the exact same thing. It was not just, it was all black men and black people who came from, go ahead.
But that's the whole thought. I mean, we can isolate it to me and my family, not only my father, my grandfather, who I used to visit in Mississippi, had to work as a janitor at a white church, even though he had a mathematics degree. He was not allowed to teach and not allowed to vote, which set us back as a family in gaining wealth and status and the opportunities that we needed to find out what our potentials were. So it's not just me. It's my family, it's you, it's your family. And if we look at the history of this country, which was built on slavery, which was built on terrorism, because there were many black cities that were burnt out, there were many people. I mean, so we have to examine all of those types of things to really get just an inkling of an understanding of what we're dealing with today and the necessity of things like there shouldn't have to be affirmative action.
Right.
If we adhere to the preambles of our Constitution and the underpinnings of our existence, we shouldn't have to have, because things should be fair. But terms and words are interpreted by people. And when people are in power, just like the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution. They can say what is and what is not. They are supposed to be above partisan politics, but they have been tainted and are now making decisions based on political desires. The two greatest, and everything I do as an attorney is influenced by the Constitution, but in the interpretations of the Constitution. And in my mind, the two greatest tragedies of our Constitution was the appointment of Clarence Thomas and Citizens United, which allowed decision-making to really placate those who were interested in not helping this country seek equality or seek equity or seek righteousness or seek fairness or seek those things that they claim are sacred to a democracy. So we are constantly fighting with ourselves over what we should do and how we should do it. I mean, one thing comes to mind this morning. Here we are laying to rest one of the greatest presidents ever, Jimmy Carter. And I was just reading an article about how the evangelicals set up a campaign of hate against him because he supported the civil rights movement and black people. And we have to really break this down as to what it really is. It's based on race. We want to say that it's not based on race and that it's all geared towards merit. And if you discriminate against one, you discriminate against other, but it's not. You are involved in sports and athletics. And I know I've done sports and athletics as a participant, and I've been a boxing official. And you know that in order to have a fair fight, you have to have a fair, you have to have rules, you have to have guidelines. And you have to have referees that are going to allow for any boxing match or any athletic contest to be free of bias, to be free of unwarranted actions that would make that contest unfair. And we are not at that point. And again, I know I'm rambling around a little bit because there's so many things that come to mind when we talk about this particular subject. We're in a position now in the history of this country that we are going to roll backwards before we're going to be able to move forward.
So let me, that point being made Attorney Evans, let me say to you, you and I, again, you are an attorney. You certainly weren't given that. You earned it. But there were people before you who tried to become attorneys, black people, who, you know, for decades were denied that opportunity. The civil rights struggle, the fight for equal rights brought that about, gave you an opportunity to well earn, to be able to have these types of, you know, to ply your trade. Let's put it that way. What I'm saying to you is, you're in my time because of what took place in the civil rights struggle. Dr. King and others who fought that battle, and even you and others, gave us an opportunity to live a middle-class lifestyle. Our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, at the rate things are going now, with them taking away affirmative action and DEI, are going back to a time that your grandfather and great-grandfather, and that's the issue, man. Well, you know, the history books, they don't want around anymore. So they're doing away with that.
Well, Earl, they we never really left that time. The Civil War has never really been over. It was put on pause. There was compromise. And again, this is the importance of learning history. And again, you know, we're getting off on tangents, but this is part of the reason they don't want certain things to be taught nowadays in classes. Which I think is really ridiculous as an educator myself. Learning is uncomfortable, and learning the truth is even more uncomfortable. But you don't get a sense of comfort unless you understand and can appreciate the truth and base your actions on what you know and understand. People would rather use emotion and opinion as their basis of understanding. An opinion is just how you feel or what you think. You wouldn't want me to go into the courtroom and your life is on the line and I'm asking the judge, this is my opinion, judge. I think Earl is a really nice guy. I don't know if he did it. He probably didn't do it and so forth and so on. You want me to go in with the facts, the proof, the evidence, the understanding of the legal consequences, the law that supports my position, and those types of things. But we don't have the opportunity to have the dialogue like in the courtroom where you have sides, you have proof, you have evidence, you have your authorities where your positions can be supported.
So Attorney Evans, diversity, equity, and inclusion, affirmative action, those things came out of the judicial system that said they were going to work towards correcting injustice. So how can you now, and people say, well, it's been long enough.
No. I don't know where that comes from. It's been long enough. And in fact, as a first year law student, I represented the America's Black Law Students on the international panel in D.C. on the post-Bakke strategies after the Bakke decision came out. I met in D.C. with
People don't know what the Bakke decision was.
Bakke was a lawsuit against the Berkeley Medical School. By a white student who indicated that because there was a program to allow disadvantaged students into the medical school, he was not allowed. And even though he was more qualified, he was discriminated against. So he indicated that such programs were those programs, affirmative action was set up to right wrongs, legal remedy for righting a wrong that existed because of the disparities that were created by the history, the greed, the neglect, and the outright hostility towards people of color. It was to get some type of semblance of balance in giving opportunities that my grandfather didn't get. Okay, that's cool. My father didn't get. That affects me directly because now I have to, as an attorney, compete against those who did whose fathers did get VA's loans, who passed that equity on to them so that they had an opportunity to experience life in a different way. I knew my experience on serving on that national panel right then. There were people saying, well, this is not going to work because we don't want it to work. We don't believe it's fair, and we're not going to allow it to work. And what happened is where we are at now, there were people who just took a side like they're doing now, saying these programs are no good. It's reverse discrimination. And I agree with reverse discrimination. If you've got discrimination, you should reverse it. I mean, but what has happened is, again, as an English major, a lot of the language like woke and false facts and that type of thing has been taken over and hijacked to demean the initial meaning of what those terms were set up to present. And then they have been promoted and put forward as something evil. And they were produced through the media as something that should be fought against. And people, without doing their research, have picked up on them and sided one way or the other, mainly because they're associated with race.
So Attorney Evans, the reason I think that this is so important a discussion is we've seen them working to dismantle. They've taken away affirmative action. The Supreme Court decided against it, and it's not accidental now that they've come after diversity, equity, and inclusion. So, go ahead.
Well, you know, and I've written several articles. And one article I wrote the night that Barack Obama was elected, I was in South Carolina with my wife, and I was elated that we had our first African-American president. But let me tell you, being in South Carolina, there were a lot of people who were not happy. In fact, they were hostile. There was a run on the gun stores, and there was, he leads a madrasa and this, that, and so forth and so on. So I wrote a paper at that time based on the hostility that I saw called the Tsunami Warning. Because I knew that Barack Obama's election as an African-American in this country would set off what we are dealing with today. We're in the tsunami of the backlash of the earthquake that was Barack Obama, which was based on race.
Hold that thought, Attorney Evans. 855-752-4842. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is Attorney Roy Evans. You can join us.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. News from the Center, WRCE.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up the Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we'll hear from Mino and the Mayor out of Green Bay. They talk with Green Bay native Landon Jones, a content creator, about his Doritos commercial he made, a semi-finalist for being run in the Super Bowl.
Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Special thanks, Don McColl, Bell and Sports Medicine, and the entire gang over there, and of course, Lisa Hill. Nuisco weekend preview, and I think I pronounced it wrong again.
Pretty close. Nuisco weekend.
Nuisco weekend, which is a phenomenal show. Right now, we've got a very interesting gentleman.
Oh, man.
Landon Jones, Adobe Bryant, Green Bay creator. His commercial is a semifinalist for Doritos and could possibly air during the Super Bowl, which is the second highest rated sporting event, I think, in the world. Mm-hmm. This is funny, though. I was just reading this the other day. It said highest rated or most viewership. The finals of the World Cup has half of the population of the world.
Wow. Maybe we'll go to every 4 years. Yeah, wow.
Landon Jones, welcome. Give us a little bit about yourself. This is exciting.
Thanks. I appreciate the introduction. So I'm a creative content creator from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I have an agency over on Walnut Street called Respect. We do a lot of creative work, web design, graphic design, videography, photography. We do some podcast stuff. And, yeah, I graduated from Green Bay East 2004.
Played some ball?
Yeah, we played some ball.
You schooled Harry Boyce, you told me.
Yes, I did.
You blocked his shots every practice to the point where he almost wept. Is that true?
This is very true. Nothing is truer. I'm just kidding, Harry.
But tell us more about how you went from Green Bay East to doing what you're doing and then what this next step could possibly be.
So after high school, I went to UW-Milwaukee for 2 years. I was going for healthcare administration. But on the side, when I'd be at my dorm, I'd just be working on Photoshop, different creative apps. And I started to meet people who needed creative services, mostly in the music industry. And I created stuff for them, and they started to offer to pay me. And it was just kind of like the light bulb went off. And, you know, I was going to my anatomy class. If you ever taken an anatomy class, anatomy's crazy.
Right.
You got to study, like, all the time. So I just found that my passion
was... You got to know where everything is.
Yeah, exactly. I found that my passion was more in the creative field. So just took the jump, dropped out, and just started pursuing that.
That's awesome.
Well, keeping you employed for 20 years.
Yeah.
So you must be really good at what you do. But I really got to know you just recently over this ad that you put together. And I'm telling you, I think you're going to win. I think you put together an ad for Doritos. They put together a contest and said, submit ads, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, they must have got a million ads.
Thousands, yeah.
Thousands, yeah. I'm sure they got thousands of ads. They keep whittling it down. You are a semifinalist. They're down to 25 ads. Yours is one of them.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know if people have
seen it.
What do you call that ad?
It's like, if somebody really wants something.
It's on YouTube. But how do people, if they want to watch it, like right now?
It's called That's Bold.
That's Bold.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the name of the ad. So just Google That's Bold, and you will see the work of Landon. It's really funny. Where do you come up with these concepts? That is a good one.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes they just come out thin air. but, yeah, I was sitting on the couch. I was eating some Doritos. I just had one in my hand. I was looking at it, and I just try and think of different scenarios playing out, like, obviously not all based in like reality, how things actually work, you know, just like what could be ridiculous or like just interesting that makes somebody laugh. And I was like, well, what if my hand got bigger? And then I was like, okay, well, what would happen if I ate it? If that effect happened, okay, the head would get bigger. And then, you know, I kind of went down the rabbit hole.
Man, that's funny.
Absolutely. I wonder if it would work there.
And there was a low budget commercial. Is that fair to say?
It doesn't look low budget, though.
No, it doesn't.
The technical aspects are top notch.
In the kitchen. Yeah. But tell us about the production of it.
I mean, the production, like, on the budget side, it was pretty simple. You know, most of it, it's just over the years, just learning lighting. I don't want to say mastering because I believe in always being a student, but just having a firmer grasp on the fundamentals of lighting and composition and stuff like that. I think that's where it appears really professional.
How did you hear? So you submitted it. What? When did they take that first round?
It was November. I think it was November 21st that the initial submissions were due by.
And how did you hear that you made a cut?
They emailed me, actually. Okay. Yeah.
Those must be fun to open up.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah, I was screaming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a text here. When will you know if you win?
So January 14th, they cut it down to 3 finalists.
And it's what, 25 right now?
Yeah, 25. Okay. And then it'll go to public voting.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah,
that's another plus in your
column. How can we tell people? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll get you some votes here, I'll tell you. Yeah.
It'll be on DoritosCrash.com.
DoritosCrash.com.
Well, we'll wait till the 14th.
Yeah.
And then we'll wait till the 14th because that's when they take it down to 3. That's not a lot. I mean, and one of those is going to win $1 million. So.
Yeah.
Now, did you have to get the okay from Doritos or did they contact you? How did that part of it work?
With regard to
the entry of the first round.
You guys doing a commercial for Doritos?
Oh, okay. No, it was open to the public. Anybody could enter. Doritos Crash Super Bowl contest. It's been going on for years. It was gone for 8 years, but it came back.
Got it.
And so, yeah, anybody in the U.S. could enter.
He made this commercial 4 years ago.
And has been what you were
sitting on it because, but the reason you sat on it was the contest wasn't available, right?
Yeah, it wasn't available. And then when the contest came around, there was some stuff in the rules that said it has to be like a new piece of work.
Original?
Yeah, so I just recreated it.
I see.
Used everything that I learned from lighting in that time and just
value. You're a pro. You got an advertising agency. Did you run it by one of your old professors or somebody to say, what do you think? Or is this just you made all the decisions?
A focus group? Yeah. Or whatever.
Kaveh, Tim, just internally. Harry saw it before it was submitted.
But like Johnson, you didn't do a focus group and change a word or change an action. And I think that's great. No, just sometimes I think people, they don't do anything because it's, you know, analysis or paralysis through analysis, you know, and I think I just applaud you for taking the guts just to put your name in there too. And look how far you've got.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's
awesome. It's gotta be fun though.
Oh, super fun. Okay. We're having a blast.
When are you going to hire me? Think about that.
Okay, Johnny
wants, I got some great ideas.
Johnny wants a job. I want 10%. And Todd wants Doritos.
I told them when I was in college, I got an A-plus in my commercial thing that I had to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, come on down to Johnny's Auto Emporium. You can't believe what we got here. I'm telling you, I can be your guy. We're going to set a quick break. Can you stick around?
Yeah.
And by the way, you said the streets are a little slippery out there, right?
Yeah.
Driving around?
Yeah, I'd be careful out there.
Okay.
All right.
Quick break. John Spagnuolo, former Green Bay Packer and Philadelphia Eagle, is coming up. The Labonte brothers. You do not want to miss them. Stay with us.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about you're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss the life and presidency of Jimmy Carter with journalist and political consultant Candy Stroud before spending some time honoring Dr. King's holiday.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. What's the holdup? Not clear yet. Hugs and tears at a hospital in central Israel where the first three hostages released from Gaza by Hamas were taken in the first day of a ceasefire deal. But the first day, Israel is supposed to free 90 Palestinian prisoners, and it hasn't happened yet, and it's past midnight there. No word about the reason for the delay. You can still buy chicken in Georgia. It is deemed safe to eat, but all commercial poultry operations in a six-mile radius are under quarantine for testing and disinfecting for a few weeks because of bird flu. No, TikTok is not fully back after President-elect Trump's comments today about wanting to restore access for Americans to the video sharing app, but in the U.S., you cannot download it. It's uncharted territory because under the law, TikTok is supposed to be banned by today. This is ABC News.